two or three services or so. And again, let me reiterate by saying that I don't feel like I go looking for messages. I think messages come looking for me. I've always been that way. I've always done that. And again, it's one of those things where I don't try to be preachy. I don't try to be anything but what God wants me to be. And however it comes out, it comes out. And I used to worry about if I was using my preacher voice or if I was preachy or whatever the case may be. I got over that a long time ago. And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't hear what I say when you leave, we're not growing. And I've heard people say, boy, didn't that preacher preach? Boy, wasn't that a good service? Yeah, it was. What did he preach that day? Well, I don't remember, but boy, we had a good time. That's not discipleship in and of itself. So I've learned to slow down and just let God be God. Used to, and Sherry knows this, I've said this, I would preach like a bunking bronco that got turned out of a gate. 90 mile an hour, as hard as I could. When I got done, I'd ask myself, what in the world did you just do? So I got over that a long time ago. Because we felt like the harder we preached and the louder we were, the better we were preaching. Sometimes I still get that way, and I like getting that way. I might get that way tonight. I don't know. But I want you to learn something. I want to learn. And I have studied way ahead just because of how the Lord put me in a spot a couple of services ago, and so far I've not preached my way out of it. We are Pentecostal. We are a Bible-believing. We are Holy Ghost-filled people. We believe in the power and the unction of the Spirit. But a lot of times, even in that, we don't always know why we do certain things in a Pentecostal church. And again, I don't know how why this hit me the way that it did, but it just hit me why. And we've went through several things. You're going to have to maybe go back and look at some of the former messages online and some of the stuff we've done. But this evening, I want to try my best to cover a few more of those whys, if you will. And then in a few days to come, we're going to be talking about other subjects as well. So I want to turn your attention. Again, we're just talking about signs and wonders with a little asterisk star with a question mark. That would say why. So tonight we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about, again, where and why we lay hands on folks. We've talked about that more extensive in the last message or so. That will be mentioned again this evening. And then we're going to take you to a couple of more places, and then we'll let you out of here. So we're going to go to Acts chapter number 19. And this is Paul in Ephesus. And again, I didn't go into the map and try to pinpoint exactly where Ephesus was. Paul was there, the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. It was during Paul's second journey, I believe. Commentary said that it was during his second journey that Paul lodged there and Paul stayed there. Paul had helpers there. And from there, and honestly, I didn't even know this until I read back through this. And you think, well, why, how do you not know stuff? You're the preacher. Well, I don't know everything. I'm still learning. But I did not know, unless the commentary was wrong, that it was from here in Ephesus that Paul actually wrote back to 1st and 2nd Corinthians. While Paul was here, and that is why 1st and 2nd Corinthians talk so much about the moving of the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Spirit. And we'll get into that probably in a week or so. So in this, in verse number 19, of chapter 19 of the book of Acts, we pick up here, and Paul was there in, at this place in Ephesus, and Apollos was in Corinth. You can see that there. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast of Ephesus. And there he finds certain disciples. Now, I'm going to walk my way through this, and we're going to talk about this as we walk our way through this evening, rather than me just reading it all. We're going to try to walk our way through it. So when you open up verse 1, we look at this, and Paul was there. He was in Ephesus. And then as he was there in Ephesus, and again, the Bible tells us later what he was doing there. He was on a journey. He was on a missionary journey. He was there. So he finds these disciples that's there at this particular location where Paul was at. And so when we read this, the idea, the concept is because they were called disciples, which again, when you and I look at that, we take it in consideration that they were already believers and they were already saved and accepted Jesus as the Messiah. So they were there, and Paul finds them. And when Paul finds them, there was a question that was asked. And in this question that was asked, he said to them, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, I know what that means to us. I know years ago in the Church of God, we often looked at individuals, and I'll just be really, really honest with you. Where I cut my teeth and where I grew up, it was not enough to be saved and satisfied. I mean, the saints of God, it's almost as if they zeroed in on you and they would not leave you alone, so to speak, until they would walk up to you and say, have you got it? And then our reply would be, not yet, but I'm getting closer by the day. What did that mean? They would ask us, have you got it? And they would say, have you got it? And to us, that would mean, have you received the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Now, again, that was not an insulting thing to me. It was one of them things, Brother Bob, that made me want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Not so much to satisfy or to gratify them as much as it was imperative and important to me to know that I did not miss out on something that God had for me. When Paul came there, that's what I thought about, and I thought about when Paul was there with them. It did not say they were not doing good. It did not say they weren't spreading the gospel. It did not say anything about that. But Paul was saying to them that God has so much more in store for you. Wouldn't it be awesome to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God in concordance with Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? You don't need to turn there. Because he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The true, genuine need of the power of the Holy Ghost is so that you will be endued with power and the equipping to be able to become this is the only way I know how to say this, that you can become usable for God in essence, in a greater sense. And this is the only way I know how to say this, that God intended for you and I to be a powerhouse for Him, to be able to do the things, as we look at this in Scripture, to be able to do the things in Scripture that will edify and glorify and magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at this, he says to them again, we don't even know so much as there be whether there be a Holy Ghost or not. Verse 3 says, as you look at that, he says, and he said unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. And they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the authority or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where do we get that from? We don't baptize in the name of Jesus only. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We baptize in the authority that's been given unto this early church, and the name of Jesus is the authority that we've been given. That is why we use the terminology, if you will, that when we baptize someone, myself and others that's helped me in days gone by, we look at them and we say these words. Y'all might not be able to hear us when we're back there. Do you publicly confess that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sin? We stop, we wait on their reply, and if they say yes, we say that in the authority or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We baptize them that way. So in this, we see where that this was the baptism that they were talking about in this upper part of Acts chapter number 19, under John's baptism. And then we look at this, and we see in the scripture, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They confessed Christ Jesus as their Lord. They confessed Christ Jesus as their master, if you will. Now, this next verse is one that we look at very often, because last week, I believe it was, that we talked about this over in the book of James, and I'm not going to turn back and look at all of those notes again, but just as a reference, we're not, again, James chapter 5, we turned there last week and looked in verses 14 and 15. If there be any sick among you, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and then they laid their hands on them, they prayed over them. And I'm going to look at that again in several different places through the scripture. Now, why did they lay hands on them? Now, a lot of people are afraid of that. A lot of people, and you'll just have to be with me for a minute here. A lot of people think about hocus pocus and manipulation and all these spiritual games that people play. The only reason that people lay hands here is that it was the fulfillment of what Paul knew in his heart that God had told him to do. We do it because we know Mark chapter number 16. Y'all mind if I turn back there? Brother Mercer read it this morning. In the book of Mark chapter number 16, we see this again in the scripture. And this is what happened there when we look at this. And it says, if you look at this, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick. Now, I know that's backpedaling just a little bit of what we've already went through. But we do that as Jesus did that, and as Jesus said for them to do that in the New Testament. We are a New Testament church, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we believe that the New Testament is the only rule of government in the New Testament church. We adhere to the New Testament church. So in this, we can see where, again, it was the example that was given in the New Testament, and also it was the authority that was approved by Jesus. So anytime we lay hands on the sick, it's not Alan Green doing that because I ain't got nothing else to do. I do that because it's the mode or the model and the authority that they used in the New Testament to lay hands on the sick. Is that not good? And I believe that this evening, that if there's anything that has been looked at as outdated and stuff that we maybe should not even do anymore is that ministry right there. If there's ever been a time that we need to anoint with oil, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. If there's ever been a day and an hour where that we need to call for the for the strong and the aged, if you will, to lay hands on the sick under the authority of the pastor. Not just jump up here and come up here and do it, but under the leadership and the authority of the pastor. My friend, it's the day and the hour that we're living in. I know the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. I understand that, and I haven't even got into that part yet. But you have to be careful in stuff like that, and I'll tell you why a little bit later on. I'll show you why, if it's okay. Can I show you? Okay, thank you. So in this, we have to be careful of how we do things. Now, when Paul did this, Paul said, the Bible said there, and Paul laid hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Wow, they received the Holy Ghost when the Apostle Paul laid his hands on them. Was it a transference of power? I cannot clearly answer that theologically, but it was Paul's obedience and their reception by faith in the message that Paul delivered unto them. Are you with me? So it was Paul's obedience and it was their reception of the faith in the gospel. And when they received Paul's word and they received what God had for them, the Holy Ghost came and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, let me meddle for a minute. This is one of those things that sometimes we can split hairs on or we kind of get stumped on. It's because, and please don't misunderstand my heart tonight. I believe that God is able to fill anybody with the Holy Ghost that truly wants the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. And I don't even have to lay hands on you for that to happen. Yet, too, the Bible says that we are to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Paul here gave us the example of laying hands on them and then they received the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I was going to say. That I think that we have to be very careful in trying to manipulate, if that's the word I'm looking for, because we don't have to, and please don't misunderstand my heart, we don't have to knock the Holy Ghost into people. We don't have to slap people. We don't have to make their ears ring. We don't have to do that. However, when you are in the flow of the anointing, when you lay hands on somebody, When you move up and down the prayer line and you're laying hands on folks, God just shakes you to the core. And sometimes you might think that it's exuberant and it's powerful. And you know what? It is. It is. But it's not your preacher, your preacher, me, trying to knock somebody down or trying to push somebody down. I've been in prayer lines where I've been knocked down. I've been pushed down. I've been hit. I've been knocked. I've had all kinds of crazy experiences. There's a guy, bless his heart, he's dead and gone on to glory. I'm going to tell you, you get in his prayer line, and I promise you, you're going to go down, or he's not going to quit praying for you. And if you don't go down, he'll push you so hard, you're going to get down. Come on, somebody. I don't agree with that. I got in the way of T.L. Lowry on the platform at Whittier one time, and T.L. Lowry literally knocked me out of his way. I mean, he knocked me down. I stepped in front of him. It was my fault. But I was just exuberant, Barney, in the mode of the excitement of everything that's going on at that time. So there's a way that you have to handle yourself in services like that. So in this, we can see again how that when Paul laid his hands on them, and that's the point that I'm trying to get to, they received the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be awesome today if all we had to do was have a prayer call or a prayer line and people receive the Holy Ghost under the unction of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance? Hey, my friend, I'm going to say this and move on. It can still happen today as much as it happened way back in the day. But the thing about it is, it's not the preacher's fault. It's not Brother West's fault. It's not Bob's fault or Brother James or whoever's creating. Anybody that's up here speaking, it comes out of the very depth of your heart. You've got to want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've got to desire that with a hunger and a thirst. You say, well, preacher, where did this come from in this scripture when you say words like this? It just simply means when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And then the Bible says, and they spake with tongues and they prophesied. In about 2 weeks on Sunday morning, next weekend, you know what that is. Sunday week, I'm going to be preaching that Sunday morning on tongues and interpretation of tongues and the function of tongues and interpretation in the church. I've already got most of it studied. It's already on the radar, and we're coming up in a couple of weeks on that topic. Why? Because here's the thing. I don't really want to get into that right now. Here's the thing. If people don't learn scripturally about tongues and interpretation of tongues, it will be a part of something that will be lost in the church forever. And I believe that it's very imperative that we understand the functionality of the Holy Ghost in not only private, but in a public meeting. Can I get an amen? It's very, very important. And somebody would say, well, we don't even need all that now. If we did not need it, it would never have been put in the Bible. Again, I read commentaries of all kinds, and I read all kinds of people's inputs and all kinds of stuff. And there are so many that say that this was only for a season, and it was only for a period, and it was only for that particular individuals and this group of people, that it's antiquated, it's outdated, and it's not needed anymore. But I disagree with that. Because the Bible says about the Holy Ghost, he says, and it shall be for you and for your children and to me, those as, that are as many as are called that are afar off. And it's going to be from generation to generation, from generation to generation. And when you get to the book of Acts chapter 28, we're living in Acts 29. We are the Acts 29 church. Which again tells me that we need to be about the Father's business even in the day and the hour that we are living in. Now I know that's a lot of meddling right there. And Paul laid his hands upon them and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now verse number 7 it says, And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of about 3 months. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse number 9 says, and when divers, which means many or several, were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. What happened there? Paul was preaching, he kept preaching. He was in their church, he was in the synagogue, he was there sharing the word of God. And then all of a sudden there was those that got hard in their heart. They rose up against Paul. You can see that there. And it said that Paul departed and he went on his way. And then we can see of how that it says, and they spake evil of that way, which Jesus is there, and it means Jesus is the way. Before the multitude, he departed from them. And then he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And then he says, and this continued in the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwelt in Asia had heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. What does all that mean? It means that Paul was there for 3 months, and then Paul moved on, and then he lodged once again at a particular location here at this school. And then from that school, he continued in the space of 2 years. How many of you know ministry takes time? I could not help but remember when I was reading through different commentary about this, of one of the writers, and I don't remember which one, but it said, could you imagine the conversations that Paul had with them disputing over the word? And then Paul moves forward, and then Paul moves to this location. He's there for 2 years. And for 2 years, Paul taught them. And again, could you imagine the preaching and the teaching and the learning and the understanding and the education that was there, that they came, and it even said that they were there some days. And again, commentary, and you can do whatever you want to do with commentary, but it said from 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the day that the people would come and they would assemble and they would gather there, and Paul taught them. And it even went on to say that this went on day in and day out and day in and day out. Could you imagine the pull and the stress on the person's body that's doing that for day in and day out for years and years? And Paul was that man. Now the next thing is where I wanted to talk to you about what happened. Now, somebody says, well, where do you get this whole issue of prayer cloths? Now, there are those that dispute this. There are those that says that there's nothing to it. There are those that say you shouldn't do it. But as far as the good old Church of God, we still believe in prayer cloths. Prayer cloth is nothing more than a point of contact. A point of contact in our faith in prayer that we've agreed together over a need, and then you can take this to that person and you can tell that person you've been prayed for. It's nothing more, nothing less. I know there's been stories where they've put them in pillows, and they've took them, put them in sinners' pillows, and in their clothing or whatever the case may be, and people wearing prayer cloths. I've heard of women pinning prayer cloths inside their garments and stuff. It's nothing more than a point of faith that you have been prayed for, and that we're believing God together. Are we okay? So in this, if we anoint with oil and we anoint a prayer cloth, it is you and I coming together in agreement over what we're agreeing or what we're praying about, and you're taking that prayer cloth with you for that person as a signet of our agreement. So when you look at this in Scripture in verse number 10, I remember a time, again, y'all have to just forgive me for my stories. I remember a time I drove from a certain location. I shouldn't even tell this. I ain't gonna tell it. No, not exactly the whole thing. I remember going from a certain location to Gastonia one time. T.L. Lowry was preaching at Ranlo, I believe it was, Ranlo Church of God. And I just felt in my heart to go get one of my handkerchiefs out of my drawer and take it and let T.L. Lowry pray over it, wipe his brow with the prayer cloth, and then take it and put it where I needed to put it. Well, I did, and I got it anointed, I believe, but he never got his brow wiped on it. I don't know what my thinking was on that, Don, but it was just a point of contact to me. Now, the Bible don't say wipe your brow with sweat. It don't say that on a prayer. It don't say that at all. It was just my thinking at that time. But in this case, the Bible said when Paul was there, I think it's verse number 11, we open this up, and it says, and this is why we do this. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Somebody I know is going to say, well, that was by Paul. By Paul and Paul alone. Well, I do understand that, and I do agree with that. But yet from that, Paul was not able to go everywhere that Paul needed to go in order for ministry to be accomplished. And in this, as we understand this, this was just one of the modes or one of the methods that God chose to work special miracles. And you look that word miracle up, I looked it up in Strong's Concordance, and the word miracle, if you look at this, the word miracle comes from the same word, power. So therefore, if God has given you and I in the church today power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and sickness and disease. I believe even in the church today that we can anoint a prayer cloth and we can pray over a prayer cloth, and I believe that people can be healed if they want to be healed. I believe that. And it says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Look in verse number 12. So you see this, and it says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs. This is prayer cloth. My granny, bless her heart, she's gone on to glory. My granny used to keep me in prayer cloths. She'd cut them for me and I'd take them to the church. I don't know where these come from, but I thank whoever done that for bringing them. But we can see that this is why in the church of God that we keep this little bag of prayer cloths. And I'll put it up in the camera so everybody on Facebook that's looking at me right now is wondering where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the book of Acts chapter 19 verse number 12. And we anoint with oil. These are the combination that we talk about, and we lay hands on the sick. Have I stayed in the Bible? So as this, we look at this, and this is the reason why. Why we do what we do. Now you know that it's more than just something that I do just because it's tradition and because it was handed down from me by Ray H. Hughes or somebody. We do it because it's in the Bible. And God's no respect for persons. And if God will do it for them, God will do it for us. And in this it says, so that from the body of Paul, they were brought unto him sick, unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Now, I am not going to get into the latter part of this, because I don't have time to do that. But if you go read 13 through 22 is where the seven sons of Sceva came and they tried to use what Paul did to exorcise demons out of a person. And those demons turned on them and tore them all to pieces, tore their clothes off of them. And then those demons spoke and said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? They tried to manipulate the power of God. They tried to manipulate the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't know Jesus, my friend, you don't have his power. It's through and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God for the edification, not only of the person, but the edification of the body, that God would get the glory for what's been done. You say, are there others in the scripture that Jesus actually touched? Were there those that, well, in other places in the New Testament where this was actually done? I'm so glad you asked. Because if you look back in the scripture, I think, let me turn there first, lest I tell our assistant upstairs the wrong place. If you look back into the book of Mark, chapter number 5, I believe it is, and it's in verse number 29. That's the wrong place. I know I wrote it down. Matthew 14. I'll get there in a second. Matthew 14. That's okay. If you looked at my notes this evening, you'd say, how in the world does he do that? Don't even ask. Don't even ask. Somebody says, I want a copy of your notes. No, you don't. It won't mean nothing. This is my notes for the evening, right there. That's it. Because I've studied and I've retained it. You can't, it's hard to go by. So this scripture right here, again, in Acts, excuse me, in the book of Matthew 14 and 36. This is a scripture that, again, it was a process of the cloth, of the process. Now, I didn't look this up for this message, but I've been told Jesus, as a rabbi, wore the robe, if you will, of the rabbi. And in the prayer shawl that was worn during that time, they had the fringes like the priest of the Old Testament. They had the fringes there that would hang down, and they had them in certain places on their garments, and this what's called in the Hebrew is the tzitzit. And in this string that held down was woven into the threading of that material, scripture, the Word of God. And as they would reach out to touch the clothing of Jesus, really they were reaching out and they were touching the Word of God. And in this we can see that when they besought Him, they might only touch. Paul, again, when Paul did this in the scripture in Acts chapter 19, again, he was following the example that was before him in Jesus' day. They knew if you could but touch the cloth, touch the hem, touch something that had been there to represent the Word of God, that there would be a healing. And I know and you know how many in this room have ever been healed by the Word of God. If I get troubled in my mind, if I get troubled in my heart, if I begin to take up the Psalms or somewhere like that, and I just begin to read the Psalms, and I begin to think that the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my help, the Lord is a very present help in trouble. If I begin to think about the goodness of God and the mercy of God that I can read throughout His Word, I know I'll be feeling better before long. And in this, we can see that when there were those there in Matthew 14, it says, and they besought Him that they might only touch. How many of you know the song, "Reach out and touch the Lord"? If we can but only reach out and touch the Lord, I know we can be whole. Sometimes it comes through a prayer cloth. Sometimes it comes through a special anointing that God shows up and does what God needs to do for you and for me. So in this, again, this is an example. It said, and they besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as, the Bible says, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Wow. Ain't that awesome? Really just saying, reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out and touch Him when we look into the Scripture. Now this is the one that we were going to look at. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of it because it's longer than what we've got right now to talk about. But it's found in the Scripture where Jesus was there. And it's found in Matthew chapter 9. Again, it's another example of those that reached out and those that touched God. You know her by name. Her name is simply the woman with the issue of blood. You know her by name. Her name is the woman with the issue of blood. And it said there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years." Commentary said she was a very lonely lady. Because the people, again, when you look at this, she was not allowed to go into the temple. She no one was allowed to touch her. She was cut off for the most part from society. She was like an outcast. I'm glad that God still loves the outcast. Not just the down and outers, but the up and outers. And the woman again in the Scripture, where the Bible says she came from behind Him and she touched the hem of His garment. And I just felt a streak of glory. You may not have felt it, but I did. In the church today, if you and I can only but reach out and touch the hem of His garment again, I know without shadow of a doubt that God will heal us in the church today. You say, do we still need a healing in the church today? It would absolutely surprise you on this very simple Sunday night. Very few people here tonight, but imagine the people in this room tonight that's inside of your heart right now saying, God, if I could just feel You one more time, if I could just get a touch one more time, if I could just reach and touch the hem of Your garment, I know that I can be made whole. So our prayer cloth may be the only connection that some people have to Jesus by faith. There's no magic in this. It's only an emblem of our faith that we're agreeing together that God is aware of your situation and we're praying. The Bible says if any two can agree together. Ecclesiastes even said that a three-tie cord is not easily broken. So we agree together. Somebody a long time ago sung a song, "Come Together." If we can just come together. And he says here in the Word of God, again, she touched the hem of his garment, and she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Jesus turned about and saw, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Her faith talked. Her faith did the work. I got one more place that I want to go to before we shut this one down this evening. Because God is a miracle-working God. And if you look into the book of Acts, which we have been examining the book of Acts, when you look in the book of Acts chapter number 5, you see the very sad account as it opens up with the judgment of Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Ghost. And as a result of them lying to the Holy Ghost, judgment fell upon them. Aren't you glad that God don't do those things anymore in the church? But between these two, between that event, there was two miraculous moves of God. We see one of them as we look in the book of Acts chapter number 4 by Peter again. Peter again was filled with the power and filled with the unction and filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Peter preached the message out of the upper room and he began to tell them that these are not drunk as you suppose, that it's only but the ninth hour of the day, just a few hours, third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But then we can see that where Peter was able to stand up and say, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit. That was the message that Peter was operating under. Fresh out of the upper room, under the unction of the power of the Holy Ghost, they had had the outpouring and they had been in revival. Then we see in Acts 4 where that, again, there was the elders. You can see this in verse 23. I'm going to really scan this really, really fast. And it says again where the apostles start there in verse 23 of Acts 4. And it says, and being let go, they went to their own company, the people, the chief priest, and all of those that went, and they were tattletales, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within them. They went to God in prayer because they knew that there was great persecution that was getting ready to happen to this early church. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Persecution may not always be a bad thing when it was handled in a prayer meeting. They came together, they prayed, they sought God for direction and boldness, and they sought God for God to manifest himself in the middle of their difficulties. Verse 27, for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, the Romans, and the people of Israel were gathered together. You know the story of the crucifixion. Verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. Listen very close. The persecution that came upon them because of them preaching the gospel, listen close, did not make them throw up their hands and quit. It did not make them go to Walmart and buy them a sack of pacifiers and hand them out at the church and everybody's soul can get mad. Are y'all with me tonight? There was something that happened. They recognized this evil spirit from hell that had come against the anointed church. If there's ever been a time for a prayer meeting, it's when the church senses an attack of the evil. Hello? This is the example that we had in the early church. Now, y'all say, how in the world did you get from one place all the way over here? It's still the New Testament church. It's still the same people experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, look at this. They came, they prayed, they asked God, God, grant your servants, you can see it there, that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. I remember reading where that the Bible says this right here among these pages of the book of Acts, and it says that they perceived that these men were ignorant and unlearned men. But the Bible says that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Why did you say that? Because the Holy Ghost is necessary for preaching of the gospel with boldness and clarity. And they needed the power of God. If there's ever been a day and an hour where your preacher, your pastor, your church needs to operate properly and correctly under the function of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, it is the day and the hour that we are living in. Now, stay with me for about 15 more minutes and you can go home. When you look at this, and it says that when they did this, that with all boldness they may speak the word of God. Verse 30, this is really good. And it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Again, follow along with what we're talking about. They stretch forth the hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Peter again at the lame, the gate called Beautiful. Been there for years at the gate called Beautiful. Had to be taken there. I don't know how he got there, crawled there, carried there. Everybody got him there. But here's the thing. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. I think we need a revival and call it such as I have revival. Such as I have give I unto thee. What would it mean? What would it mean today? And I'm just preaching my heart tonight. I have very little notes in front of me. And I've studied this. What would it mean today if people really started coming to the church and being healed? What would it mean today if people really got filled with the boldness of the power of God so that when they heard the name of Paul and heard the name of Jesus, that those that was filled with evil and demonic powers and spirits would flee? And don't get mad at the preacher. Sometimes we like to pet what's bothering us for the attention that we get. I've been there. I've whined and I've moaned and I've groaned and I've done all those things, and I'm sorry and I apologize for it, but whining and moaning and groaning don't do anything. But we need to pray. We need to pray under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and we need to see the power of God move in the Pentecostal church unapologetically. We don't need to hold our head down. We need to lift up our eyes. We need to see wonders and signs and people healed in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And we are not another denomination. If somebody wants to go to that denomination, God bless you. Take off. Go do it. Knock yourself out. But here's the thing. We don't need to water it down and forget who God has made us to be and who God wants us to become. We still need to lay hands on the sick. We need to still anoint with oil. We still need to speak the word of God with boldness. And we still need to see signs and miracles and wonders in our midst. But we get so comfortable. I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay, just be okay. And we just skate our way through life just being okay. Show me okay in the scripture. Show me when they let down. Show me when they were just doing the status quo as a church. They stayed busy. And as they did what God told them to do, the power of God showed up. Look at these next few verses. And it says, if you look at this, and it said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Why did that happen? Because they saw God and they said, We're under attack here. We're losing ground. They called a prayer meeting and they began to seek God, and God showed up. And when God showed up, the place was shaken. And then we can see this in the following verses, where that God was afoot, and God, we see this in Acts 4 and 33. He says, well, let me go to 32 and go forward. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said of any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why did they need that great power? Hello, listen close. Not for the preacher to get an attaboy at the end of the day and say, and I love the accolades and God bless you for anything and everything you've ever done, but I don't do what I do just because I need an attaboy, that because I'm so insecure in who I am as a pastor or a preacher that I've got to have somebody petting me all the time in order for me to do my job. Oh no, my friend, we need an unction to function that only comes from heaven above. And when we get anointed of God, and when we get an anointing from the Holy One, my friend, you don't have to worry about who's giving you an attaboy or go team or anything like that. You're going to wade through devils elbow deep if you have to in order to accomplish the will of God. And a church that is really a Holy Ghost filled church, you're not going to quit just because you get a little hiccup in the system. You're going to continue to do what God has called the church to do. And that is us. We've got to do what God's called us to do. They had to go forth. And as they moved forward, that church come under attack a lot. Read it. They were all martyred. John made it out, went to Patmos and come back from pastored a while. He's an old man. You're not going to get out of here alive. You're not. Somebody said, well, I don't want to be a martyr. Why not? It's a free ticket home. Come on, somebody. Okay, slow down, preacher. I don't want to be a martyr either. But if you think about giving your life for the Lord, serving Him as a disciple, the Bible teaches us you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. As He is, you belong to Him. Everything we do ought to always speak of Jesus and love Him and honor Him and thank Him. Now, let me go real fast. I'm within 2 minutes of touchdown, and y'all don't even know it. I've already got the runway in sight, wings, flaps, tires, everything's ready. I'm just waiting on the hit. Look at these next couple of verses. And then, let me get back up here where I can find my place. Maybe I don't need to go to another verse. Let me find my place right here. And it says, again, yeah, I'll leave that alone for right now. Here's where I want to go. I want to go to chapter 5, verse 14. And here's the last 2 minutes. And the believers were more added to the Lord. And believers were the more added to the Lord. I think that's what that said. They were added more believers to the Lord. Multitudes. Again, we worry about running people away from the church. When I got in good Holy Ghost meetings, my friend, it wanted me to come back the next time. It didn't run me away. There was something hit me on the inside of my heart. And I knew, Brother Don Hunt, that I wanted more of it. I wanted more of what God had to offer. That's what happened. When they seen the unadulterated word of God, the boldness of these disciples and the word of God being preached, Jesus being glorified and edified and souls being saved, the Bible said they added to the Lord. It said multitudes of men and women. Look at verse 15. Insomuch, and I love this. This is where, again, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Into the streets. Laid them on beds and couches. That at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, I haven't ever got into that where we put people on the streets and let somebody know. This is special miracles here that God wrought in the life of Peter and the disciples because of the glory of God, and so many, the sick was laid out, and Peter couldn't get to everywhere like Paul couldn't get to everywhere. And as they were there, the very shadow of Peter crossed over top of them. Wouldn't it be so awesome to have such an anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power of God? All I had to do was walk by Brenda and she'd, "Woo!" I remember Barney as a young guy in camp meeting. Some of these guys that was my inspirational guys, I thought, man, don't let him come back here. Don't let him come back here. Don't let him. They would come by and they'd get right to me. I just knew, Brother West, they're going to read my mail if they got that close to me. I knew it. I didn't want them reading my mail. I tell you that right now. But here's the thing. There was an unction. There was an anointing about the men of God that was evident when they would preach the word of God. There was a power about them. There was an unction about them. Where did it go? Is it still available for today? Is the anointing still real today? They took those and laid them in the streets, on the beds and the couches. And at the last, it says there, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And then he says here in the Word, he said, there were also came multitudes out of the city round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed, tormented, vexed with unclean spirits. And they healed every one. Oh, Pentecost, power of God. You say, well, Pastor, is that still available today? Show me where it went out of date. Show me where God said, and these are the final days of the conclusion of the disciples and the early church, and we no longer, you can't show me that. With Jesus' stripes, we are healed, and we believe in the blood atonement, that through the blood atonement, we can be healed. Somebody says, well, why don't everybody get healed? Why is people sick? I can tell you that real easy, because of sin. Because that's what happened in the garden, and death passed upon every man. But because of one man's sins, death passed upon every man. But here's the thing that the scripture says, but because of the sacrifice of one man, Jesus, it says because of his sacrifice, now everyone can be healed. We may not ever see our healing the way we want to see our healing in our natural body. But if you serve God and you love God and you serve Him all the days of your life, my friend, the Bible describes it as a place in Revelation, as a place of no sorrow, a place of no pain, a place of no death, a glorious land. But these are the attributes of the power of the Holy Spirit. There are times in our life today that we need a good dose of God. I'll be honest with you. I need it every day. I do. I need God to touch me every day. So there's why we lay hands on sick, why we anoint with prayer cloths, and why we do some of the things that we do in the church. And I pray that through the scripture, that it's helped somebody. To know that it's not just what we do for the sake of just doing it. So, I want you to stand with me. we had another hour, I probably preached an hour. If we had another hour, we would just call for a prayer line, and we'd just, that's a whole nother story in a prayer line. We'd call for a prayer line and we'd just have prayer for everybody. We'd just go out of here praying one for another, laying hands on the sick. We'd just go out of here praying for each other. In this room, that we can just simply say, we're going to pray for you this week. Just slip your hand up all over this room. Look around. These are people that's got needs, and these are people that we can be praying for this week. And I want to pray in conclusion that God would touch us. Remember the announcements that I made earlier. Father, in Jesus' name, God, you've seen my heart tonight. You see what was preached. And Father, I believe that it is still available to your people. I still believe today that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I still believe today, God, that just like in the day of Paul, that as a point of contact, as believing that we have prayed one for another, that the prayer cloth can go forth, and I believe that it can go and it can be used as a symbol of our faith. And God, I just pray even now, Holy Spirit, the hands that was raised and the needs that are around us. Father, I pray, God, that as signs and wonders was done in the New Testament, let signs and wonders be done in this room tonight, oh God, I pray. And I pray, God, if there's those in this room that are not saved, if there's those in this room that's not serving you, Father, I pray that God, you reveal to them Jesus. I pray, God, that he be revealed in this room. I pray, God, if there's those that need a miracle in their lives today, I pray for a miracle. I pray, God, for our family. I pray for needs to be met, oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, you know the need of the hour. You know every situation. And God, I pray, God, that even now that you would manifest yourself. That, God, that you would show yourself real in the hearts and in the lives of every person here tonight. And, Father, we ask you this. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. For in him we live, we move, and we have our being. So, Father, anoint us. Anoint your people. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. My prayer is with you. Wednesday night church. Thursday morning children's home. If you need information about the event going down to Charlotte Thursday or the 29th, please be seeing Miss Janet back there. God bless you as you go.